Enriching People's Lives. I'm Steve Sappington, and today is November 22nd, 2009. My goodness, where did this year go? It seems like just yesterday we were saying Happy New Year. So, but we've had lots of great stuff happen this year, and lots of things that have been surprises. But you know what? They didn't surprise God, did they? God knew what was going on, and He's in control. So, anyway, happy Sunday to you. We thank you for listening to our show. We've got some neat things to talk about today, and we want to share with you about taking back territory and a little bit about that. And we may talk about, the ideal characteristics of investments. So who knows what we'll get into. So we appreciate your prayers that, again, we would... This is my pastor's prayer when he preaches. He says, God, get me out of the way so that what you want to say gets said. And, you know, that's my prayer for this show, too, is that we want to share, God's heart. And that's one thing I've been praying more of lately is, Lord, help me really know you better. And then help me know myself. And, the book of Nehemiah has been... very helpful, very challenging to me. You know, if you look at Nehemiah's prayers in there, the first they were, God-centered. So many of the prayers, and they said very little about me or Nehemiah, but they said so much about you, God, your kingdom, and you are this and you are that. And so I think, too often we our prayers are me-centered instead of God-centered. And then as he went on, after he had prayed prayers that were God-centered, then he actually began confessing. He said, forgive us. Israel as a country had transgressed and done so many evil things. And Nehemiah didn't pull any punches. He said, Lord, we've done this. You said if we did it, this would happen. And sure enough, it happened. So forgive us. And so he has these gut-wrenching prayers, and then finally, after he's acknowledged that God is in control and that he's asked for forgiveness, then finally he starts confessing, God's word and God's promises in the third stage of his prayers, where he's saying, okay, Lord, your word says this, and if we'll do this, then this will happen. So, Lord, we're asking you to do that. So, that's my prayer as we... As we go through one of the things that we can learn through this radio program is that we'll each want to draw closer to God and find out more, learn His ways, know Him better and know ourselves better and recognize that, who we are without Him and then who we can be with Him through the blood of Jesus. So, thanks for tuning in. We hope these shows are a blessing to you. We'd love to answer your questions. Basically, what's happening right now is I come in every couple of weeks and record two shows. So this is only the second time I've been in the studio. The first two shows have aired, and this is the fourth show. I just finished recording the other one a few minutes ago. And so it's actually, today is November the 10th for me, but this actual program is going to air in 12 days on November 22nd. So if you have questions or comments, we'd love to hear from you. You can email me at Sappington Communications. That's S as in Sam, APP like Peter Paul, INGTON, Sappington Communications at gmail.com. Or you can call us if you're not an internet person. Just give us a call. And the number here is 254-751-0565. That's 751-0565. And we'd love to hear your suggestions for the show. If you have an investment question or a financial question, whether it's about, you know, what does God's word say about retirement, or what does God's word say about offerings, or what does God's word say about, you know, giving, or what does God's word say about mortgages, you know, all those types of things. You know, if I don't know the answer, I'll try to find it. And we would love to get that feedback from you and make this program where it really does meet your needs and help you to be a better steward of all that God has entrusted to you. And so you can give us a call there. You also, we'd love for you to read our book. You can go to our website. That's www.todayswordonmoney.com. That's todayswordonmoney.com. That's today's with an S, T-O-D-A-Y-S-W-O-R-D, on, O-N, money, M-O-N-E-Y.com, todayswordonmoney.com. And there you can, you know, sign up for our monthly emails. We have an email newsletter that you can sign up for. In fact, I may read some excerpts from my newsletter here in a few minutes. And you can also follow us on Facebook or Twitter. You can click on a link that will take you to our blog. You can listen to radio interviews. You can read sample chapters. You can read endorsements and testimonials from other people who've read the book. You can, let's see, you can, oh, you can go to the archives and read the previous, you know, back issues of our newsletter. And, of course, you can buy the book, too. The book sells actually for $12.95. If you're in Texas, then there's state income tax. So it's, I think the total is like $14.02. And we'll be happy to email you a copy. And again, we'd ask you to be in prayer that we find the right publisher as we evaluate different offers. And we're trying to have wisdom so that we are able to compare apples to apples, because each different publisher has strengths and weaknesses, and we're trying to, you know, use God's wisdom to make sure that we go with the right publisher who has the strengths that we need so that the book is in as many hands as possible. So thanks again for tuning in, and let's talk a little bit today about, you know, we mentioned earlier about my background, but let's talk about the best investment that you can make. You know, I get that question a lot. And, of course, that the answer changes depending on what's going on with the economy. You know, something that I recommend today, you know, might not have been the best investment 6 months ago. But I do get that in question a lot. You know, when people, they have some money available to invest. Well, what's the best investment I can make right now? So I'm going to throw you a little curve here this time, and we're going to talk about the best investment, but it might surprise you, but then again, you'll realize where I'm going here in just a minute. You know, the Bible teaches that God gives us the freedom to accept or reject his authority in our lives. So when we talk about where's the best place to invest, you know, earlier here, I guess last week we talked about that, you know, a person's eternal soul is worth more than everything on earth. You know, things, material things, are temporary, but souls are eternal. And, you know, in Matthew 13, Jesus tells us about a sower who actually harvests 100 times as much as he planted. And, you know, in financial terms, that's like someone who invests $1,000 and it turns into $100,000. You know, that's a pretty good return. You know, most people think that, you know, the only way you can get that kind of return is is by gambling. But, you know, the Bible tells us that really, instead of relying on luck, you know, if you think about it, luck really doesn't even exist. The Bible tells us that anyone who follows God's system has the potential to receive a hundredfold return. In other words, it's all of his children to win, not just one person. That's why luck truly, you know, doesn't really exist. You know, the blessings and cursings exist for sure, but good luck and bad luck, you know, that's that system is really, you know, that's a imagination. So, you know, let's cover more on the topic then of how to be blessed and not cursed. In terms of investing, even a brief study of Scripture reveals that, you know, if we can help even one person change his or her eternal destination, in other words, if they're headed to hell and we can help them turn their lives around, repent, and become a Christian, ask Jesus to be their Lord and Savior, if we can help even one person do that during our lifetime, you know, we'll receive a higher spiritual return than even someone who, earns 100-to-1 on their money. And even though Christians should not gamble or rely on games of chance, it doesn't follow that we should never make financial investments. In fact, Matthew 25:27 teaches us that good stewardship requires that we make a profit. Sometimes God may direct us to grow and hold assets for a time, but we've always got to remember that the time may come when God asks us to use these earthly profits to harvest heavenly treasure. I don't know about any of you, but I frequently need to remind myself that that God's my source, and not any of the assets that God has entrusted me, they're not my source. We'll talk later on in the book. We'll mention some ways to increase financial profitability, but because we are expected to make a monetary profit. But let's really never lose sight of the fact that investing in God's kingdom is ultimately the most profitable investment that we can ever make. Those are returns that will pay forever. What if you got a great investment and it paid you 20% a year for the rest of your life? Well, that's almost unheard of, but still it pales in comparison to what the kinds of returns that we can earn in God's kingdom when we impact people's lives, when we actually are like Jesus was doing, and he says, I must be about my Father's business. So, like I say, that doesn't mean that we should never invest, but it does mean that we need to keep things in perspective and realize that no matter how good a financial return we may get, it's not as important, not nearly as lucrative as the spiritual returns that we get when we invest in God's kingdom. One of the questions that I ask in this is chapter 3 in my book that I've been taking some excerpt from, is, what can you do that'll help you practice the presence of God so that you're more aware of opportunities to get an eternal return? So, what can you do that will allow you to practice God's presence, help you remember that and be open and ready for opportunities that will allow you to lay up treasures in heaven and get that eternal return that's, again, so much better than earthly return. Another question that I think we all need to consider is, have you ever acknowledged that God owns everything in your life? If not, what's holding you back, or what are you holding back? Our faith can be related to our love for God. And again, the Bible talks about 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. So we need to be, have the faith. Really, if you think about fear, it's actually having faith in the devil's abilities more than the faith that you have in God's abilities. Well, goodness knows we shouldn't do that. So really the only thing that we're taught to fear is to have a reverential, worshipful fear of God, because he is an awesome God, really the only thing that's truly awesome in the universe. We use that word awesome, I think, too lightly a lot of times. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The Message translation says, concentrate on doing your best for God, work you won't be ashamed of, laying out the truth plain and simple. So again, that's a great verse to memorize, internalize, and live by, so that we do show ourselves approved unto God, because we are to be workmen. So in speaking of work, one of the things that I've been thinking about lately is is taking back territory, entering into the promised land, or the land of God's promises. I think if you were to ask most people, that is most Christians, if you were to ask them, how do we fund God's work, the kingdom work, and how do we accomplish His purposes? Most people's answers will revolve around the words giving, tithes, and offerings, things like that. And that's certainly good, and we need to be obedient to what God asks us to give. But if you look at, whether it's 10% or, even 20% or 50%, what I'd like to talk about is how can we take back territory? How can we capture entire industries and companies and multinational entities, whether it's in the field of education or entertainment or finance and business or politics or sports, all those areas. You can Google Seven Mountains and you can find out more about that, but each of us has a call and strengths on our that God has given us, a call on our life and strengths that He's given us, ways that we can minister, and not just on Sunday. So imagine if you, for example, we'll look at movies. Recently, many of the investors that have worked with our firm, they invested in helping to fund more Christian movies. Think about how movies over the last few years have Christian movies or faith-based movies have changed people's lives. A lot of people have gotten saved, and they hadn't been going to church. I mean, think about the impact that the Passion had on millions of people. What was it? Hundreds of millions of dollars that it generated in revenue. You look at Facing the Giants and Fireproof. My good friend Rich Cristiano, just had The Secrets of Jonathan Sperry. He had Time Changer and a number of other Christian films. There are people out there that are, actively taking back territory that the enemy has, claimed for himself for a long time. So many people, just stopped going to movies, and well, that didn't keep Hollywood from making films. They just made films for everybody else. So, finally some Christians have started standing up and saying, no more. We're going to show you that we will go to see good movies, but you've got to make some good movies. And so I think, Hollywood's starting to get the message. They're realizing that there is a well-funded audience out there that will pay, is glad to pay for good movies, moral uplifting movies with a good message. And so that's one example of how we can take back not just 10%, but when an entire movie, that's 100%. Well, what if a company, let's say that a company is being run into the ground and the owners are not following God's principles, and so the company ends up getting sold. And what if someone buys that and turns around and trains the employees and the people that are in that company to conduct themselves in a Christian manner, even if they don't use Christian language all the time? Well, what if they just learn principles like love and forgiveness and stewardship? And so you think the value of that company is going to stay down, or is it going to go up? Well, obviously, the company is going to increase in value. So now we've not just, taken 10% of that company. We've taken 100% of that company and moved it over into the kingdom of God. And so I think that, commerce has, such an impact and can have the greatest impact. In fact, let me read, this is a, if you'd like to receive these emails, let me know, because I can give you the information to where you can sign up and receive these emails on a daily basis. These are actually done by Glenn Reppel, a good friend of mine. He's one of my mentors. Actually, he's my broker-dealer. But he sent this one out just the other day. He said, what's the wealth of the worth producing? Is the wealth producing righteousness or wickedness? Is the wealth of the world promoting the building of the kingdom of God or the kingdom of the devil? The wealth of the world is self-seeking. It rejects truth and seeks evil. The god of the marketplace is the lust of the flesh under the guise of honesty, integrity, and righteousness. The wealth of the world leads to the wrath of God. It leads to anger, emptiness, and death. When you do business with the world, how much of the money gets moved into the kingdom of God? How do we move wealth into the kingdom of God? Some think the only way is through our tithes and offerings. But this is flawed thinking to believe that ministry through the nonprofit world is the only way to build the kingdom of God and capture territory. Building kingdom companies through the marketplace is one way to shift wealth and build the kingdom of God. Money comes into ministry through business and commerce, which creates a cyclical effect. As both are transformed, giving will increase and more money will flow into the ministry. When you do business with a biblical entrepreneur or a kingdom company or business where the people bear the marks of redeemed lives, you know, they may not be perfect, but they're always seeking to improve, going from glory to glory. When you do that, money is flowing into the kingdom of God. The corporate giving, discipleship training, leadership training, individual giving, love, forgiveness, mercy, and grace are all evidences. You know, they can be seen to all who do business with that organization. We're called to go make disciples. The best place to make disciples is in the workplace. One transformed, redeemed life in the workplace can entirely change the direction of an organization. Investing in kingdom business seeks righteousness that brings honor and glory to God. You know, God is glorified when he sees implemented his ways of loving, forgiving, repenting, and thinking of others more than ourselves. The best way to transform the world for Jesus Christ, which will ultimately transform nations, communities, families, and the church, the best way to transform the world for Jesus is through commerce. When business is seen as a form of worship, when business is understood as being redemptive because of Christ Jesus, when more biblical entrepreneurs are trained to carry the message of the gospel and live the kingdom of God, then transformation will begin. This is a great opportunity to take territory in business. Stand for righteousness and truth today in the marketplace. God wants all of his resources used to further his kingdom. He wants his wealth invested with people he can trust with little. He'll test you in the desert and wilderness to find out what's in your heart. Is your heart thankful, grateful, and content? Godliness with contentment is great gain. Walk in the confidence of your salvation as a child of God. Speak truth and love. Are you willing to give up everything for the gospel of Jesus Christ? So one of the things that Glenn mentions there is that, you know, this is a great opportunity. You know, when a lot of people are hurting and there's opportunities for change, you know, so often in the past, there have been opportunities that the church missed. Well, please spread this message. This is a great time to take back territory because a lot of people are relinquishing it. They're running out of money, and so they don't have the funds necessary. So if Christians can step in a lot of times for pennies on the dollar. And so if you'd like to know more about that, you know, about these types of opportunities and how you can transform your business or where you work, whether you're the owner or whether you're an employee, give us a call. We'd love to visit with you some more about this concept. I'm going to read to you this is a sample of my newsletter. I'll read it, some of it to you also. And this kind of elaborates on what some of the things Glenn said. You know, how do you think most people who attend church would say that God's purposes on earth are funded? How are these purposes accomplished? My sense is that most answers would include the word giving. And when we think of giving, we usually think of tithes and offerings. You know, I've heard somewhere that the typical church attendee gives about 2% of his or her income. as I've been studying and thinking about circumstances and what's going on in the nation and the economy, I think that God's using these and other circumstances to grow his kingdom. God has called all of us to minister, not just those of us who are pastors or evangelists by profession. And, it looks to me like one of the major moves of God in the earth now is being done through Christian business people, both entrepreneurs and employees. One of my best friends is a photographer, and he recently said, when I go to work, I minister. In addition, I might take a few pictures. When I go to the grocery store, I go to minister, and in addition, I may buy some food. Now, just because our primary purpose is to be God's representative, it doesn't mean that we should be so focused on ministering that we try to justify, poor work habits or shoddy work in our careers. No, God's word says that whatever we do in word or deed, we should do as unto the Lord, not to people. That's Colossians 3:23. So, contrary to what most Christians evidently believe, we won't get God's work done by giving just 2% or 10% or 20% of our money and our efforts to God. Many churches are satisfied with 10%. But I think God's got something bigger in mind, not just talking about your wallet. Again, I'm talking about taking back territory from the enemy. Why not look at your job, your business, your daily routines, and ask God what you should be doing differently? What if everyone in your firm asked God every day how God wants them to serve? What if we ask God what we could say or do to transform our company? What new policies should we implement? What new products should we offer? Why not march around the walls in your workplace until the non-biblical ways of doing business collapse? You think we might see less business as usual and more revival as more businesses become 100% God's territory? Would anybody besides me like to see and hear the media present some new, different headlines and different news stories? I think I can safely say that, if we take 100% of companies, we'll get some new headlines in the media. They'll start to see a difference in the way some companies are run. If you'd like more information, go to www.reclaim7mountains. That's the number 7, not spelled out, just the number 7. Reclaim7mountains.com. Find out what mountain God wants you to conquer. I'd encourage you to spend some time today, asking God for three things that you can do differently next week. Let me know about it. Give me a call. We'd be glad to pray for you and to share that with other people. So, again, you can call us at 751-0565. You can email us at sappingtoncommunications@gmail.com. And as always, we want to thank you for listening. We'd be happy to hear your prayer requests, to hear your suggestions for topics to cover on the program or for guests to have on the program. And may you receive God's very best in every of your area of your life. So we wish you a great Sunday. Happy November. Happy Thanksgiving. May you receive the Lord's best in every area of your life. This is Steve Sappington, again, thanking you for listening to Enriching People's Lives.